I'd like to begin by wishing a happy Father's Day to all the fathers among us, biological, step, foster, and the father figures who lead, shape, and mentor others regardless of gender. We are grateful for your contributions to the community and the family of humanity, and for your presence here among us today. During our Pride Tide summer sermon series, Bible Pride, I wanted to encourage us to look at old things in new ways and to challenge the assumptions we all too often make without even thinking that there may be other possibilities. In other words, I want to encourage us to use our queer eyes and unique perspectives to see new possibilities, things that give us pause, things that make you go, We in the lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, intersex, queer, and questioning communities often loosely refer to ourselves as family, as a means by which to show some relativity among ourselves as being different, as being people on the margins of society. If joined together by nothing else than by our shared experience of that marginalization. Many of us have lost blood family relationships as a result of who we are and living our lives authentically. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
It's not right. And so we have also formed the concept of chosen family, people around us that we have formed with our feelings, that we have chosen as our family members. But here's the thing. Chosen family does not mean anything will be any easier. Okay? Or any less messy. I promise you that by experience. What it does mean is that you have chosen this person or these people as the ones that you want to go through the mess with. That's a holy and sacred thing, and family takes work no matter who you form it with. Today we look at a familiar story with an often overlooked father, one who is among the most unusual fathers in the Bible. Let me tell you a story. It all began when a Moabite woman would not take no for an answer. When her husband died, rather than go back to the house of her mother, rather than stay and grieve among her own people, her relatives, her kin, she instead insisted that she go with her mother-in-law, Naomi, to a strange land, to Naomi's home, where the only person that she knew was Naomi. When Naomi urged her to go back, she responded, "Where you go, I will go. Your people shall be my people. Your God shall be my God, and where you die, I will die. And there I will be buried, and that is that." Her insistence is such a beautiful expression of love and family, voicing what I believe is the most beautiful and poignant expression of longing ever. And it is also the most used passage of Scripture in heterosexual weddings. And it is a passionate appeal from one woman to another. Ruth, whose very name means companion, whose name roots in a word also meaning understanding, longing for a place to belong with Naomi. Ruth, willing to leave her people, her land, her mother, her religion, her faith tradition, all in exchange for a place to belong with Naomi, to make a home with her. That is family. Now, when they entered Naomi's hometown, Bethlehem, they created quite a stir, quite a buzz, a lot of gossip. I mean, here is Naomi, whose name means pleasant and delightful, returning to the land of her origin after many years, a bit bitter from her experience, and with a Moabite woman in tow. In fact, she is often referred to in the story as Ruth the Moabite, or the Moabitess, Moab, a people often in conflict with their neighbors, the Israelites. Now, the etymology of the word Moab is from Greek via Hebrew, meaning, quote, from the father. Or, as one rabbi scholar believed, it was an abbreviation of I Moab, meaning his mother is his father. An interesting concept on Father's Day. You see, according to Genesis, the ancestor of the Moabites was Moab, Lot's son, by incest with his older daughter. Yes, the Bible is filled with more complicated relationships than any soap opera. Anyway, while the lands bordered one another, as frequently happens with neighbors who may share more in common than they care to admit, the tension between the Israelites and the Moabites was there. And so calling her Ruth the Moabite carried some sting with it. Now, as you have heard me say often, in ancient times, women did not own property. They were property. Oh, they may have had property attached to them in some way, but if so, they were, in fact, a part of that property, not the owner of it. So two women on their own at that time, two widows, they were highly vulnerable. Begging was often necessary, and destitute and death were not uncommon outcomes. Naomi carefully guided Ruth to a place where a relative of Ruth's deceased husband had fields of grain, and Ruth was able to glean some grain, gather some scraps of food there, nourishment to help both she and Naomi survive. Well, eventually, Naomi caught the eye of the landowner, Boaz. He noticed and admired her devotion to Naomi. The way she had left her home and her people to come to this strange land, not for a man, but to be with Naomi. Thus he became her protector as she gathered grain in the fields. Fields which could be a very scary and potentially dangerous place for a single woman without connections. And Boaz also provided her with some additional grain and supplies on the side. Now, at this point, Naomi offered some shrewd advice to Ruth, telling her to go gussy herself up, to go ahead and femme herself up with some nice clothes and some sweet perfume, and to go to where Boaz is at the end of the day, down to the threshing room floor, and to stay out of sight until he has eaten and until he has drank his fill. When he lies down, she said, note the place where he is lying, then go there. Uncover his feet and lie down. He will tell you what to do. Now, I kind of get this image of Boaz as semi-passed out. And that this may have been a regular routine for him, that Naomi knew about this. Well, Ruth was about to break that routine and change his story by laying next to him and uncovering his feet. Okay. Uncovering his feet. I actually heard it preached long ago when I was a child that uncovering his feet would make Boaz cold and cause him to wake up. Now, I think we are all adult enough now to hear, even from the pulpit, that feet was a common Hebrew euphemism for genitals. In places where that just makes more sense, and in this case it does. So think eggplant emoji. So. Because whether an eggplant is an eggplant or not depends on the context and the person. Anyway, while whatever it was that was uncovered might indeed cause Boaz to be cold and stir awake, the meaning, though, of what Ruth did would not be lost on him. Naomi assumed this, and rightly so, that Boaz would understand such an action as a plea for Boaz to marry Ruth. In Scripture, she asks that Boaz spread his garment over her as her protector. Boaz is touched. He blesses her, and he says that her kindness is great, that she has cared for Naomi so well. and with such devotion. And she has not run after younger men, be they rich or poor, but instead she has come to him. Now, by this, we can infer that Boaz is an older man with no wife. Yet he is a man of some means and importance. So why hasn't he been snagged by some woman? He's older, he's on his own, he's not married. Maybe Boaz just isn't the marrying kind. Nevertheless, he sees something here, perhaps an opportunity to change his story. Perhaps instead of sleeping alone on the threshing room floor after eating and drinking perhaps a little or way too much, he sees an opportunity to try something different, to change his way of living and his way of thinking. Maybe he catches a glimpse of another possibility, a family. A family with a woman who won't always be after him, with a woman who has already made Naomi the center of her life, and who won't want more from him than he has to offer her. So Boaz marries Ruth, and Ruth bore a child. And the neighborhood women gathered around Naomi saying, "Praise Yahweh, Ruth, who loves you and who is more to you than seven sons." Now think about that. That's huge. That's a big thing to be said at that time. Ruth, who loves you, has given birth to a child. One mommy who will renew you and sustain you into old age. Naomi took the child to her bosom and became his nurse and caretaker. And the women who were there looked on and said, "A son has been born to Naomi. Naomi has a son." Second mommy. The child has two mommies. Obed has two mommies. Boaz is not mentioned. And I think that's odd. I think it's very queer. Men are always mentioned. Always mentioned. Now, some have puzzled over that, and yet that margin of the story makes sense to me from my perspective. And so, in my mind's eye, I see a family photograph. I see Naomi sitting, holding the child, while Ruth and Boaz stand behind Naomi and look on, a hand on each shoulder in sort of an embrace. A very unconventional family, each in their own way, seeking and finding a place to be where they can belong and be themselves. Each one contributing something important and essential to the lives and livelihoods of the others. Each one odd and unusual, strange, queer, each one living on the margins in their own ways. And yet each having grown together, making a home and creating a new narrative, a new story together. The child was named Obed, meaning service and worship, faithful one. And who named the child? The women of the neighborhood. A community of women, like a book group or a softball team. Not even named by the father, but by a veritable family of women around them. And the importance of that child? The child was the father of Jesse and the grandfather of King David himself, and as such, the child of this wonderfully unique family was in the lineage of Jesus, the one of prophecy to come from the root of Jesse, Obed's son. So, through that formation of a very unconventional family, and through the willingness to accept and change and grow through it, the willingness to change their stories, through that came great leaders and great teachers, people who would change the world, and the world that we live in today. We are family. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
And we are a growing family. We keep making room. Have you noticed that? Adding letters to a growing community of inclusivity. Beginning as gay, then lesbian and gay, then lesbian, gay, and bisexual. than lesbian, gay, bisexual, and trans, than lesbian, gay, bisexual, trans, queer, and questioning. And one day it is my hope that we will finally add SA for other family members, for our precious and wonderful straight allies. Those who have claimed us as family and we them as a beautiful part of our chosen family. So on Father's Day, I want to wish a happy Father's Day to Boaz, an oft forgotten and wonderfully unusual father. And I want to recognize Ruth, the Moabite. Throughout this story, Ruth, the beloved, is constantly transforming herself. Constantly transforming herself through the many changes that happen around her and changes that she herself brings about. She grows, she survives, she thrives, creating life, creating new life, not only within her, but within and all around those who surround her. She leads them to growth and transformation as well. Think about it. Ruth, the companion, changes everyone's story. In closing, do you have the courage to change your story? To change, transform, and grow beyond all you have been taught and told? To change the stories of other people? To draw strength and power from ancient stories through new eyes? To balance on the forming edge of your life and to step out? To not take no or an accepted convention for an answer? To form your own family with your feelings from those you love and care for, and those who love and care for you. Ruth, Naomi, and Boaz, what do you make of them? I know what I make of them. A family. Yes, you raise your hand. Go make me cry. You also answered my next question. Okay. Who is in your family? Who is in your family? May it be a multitude of many, all colors, types, and nations, and a family portrait of diversity. May that be so.